Hey, listener, if you have a favorite wine glass, one that you use every time you drink wine, this episode may just blow your mind because it turns out one glass is not made for all. And in fact, the glass you use could be the reason that you like or not like a particular wine. If you want to know how and why the vessel you use affects the taste of a wine, then listen up because you're going to hear from the world's number one expert on the subject of glassware for wine. This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a certified specialist of wine and wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. Today, our guest is Maximilian Riedel, CEO and president of Riedel Crystal. He's the 11th generation of the family business. And if you haven't heard of Riedel, you might be living under a rock. It's probably the number one glassware manufacturer for wine glasses. If you live in the New York City area, you've probably seen the billboards up and down the New Jersey Turnpike and around the Lincoln Tunnel. You've seen their glasses in every major store. And it's just a pleasure and an honor to have Maximilian Riedel with me today. Thank you so much for joining us, Max.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. I'm looking forward.
Yeah. And your family's been in the business since 1756, over 265 years. 1958, you started doing the varietal-specific wine glasses, which we're going to get into shortly. I think you know a little bit about glassware, and that's why we're having you on, because you are probably the one expert I know in the world on glassware for wine. And today, tell our listener who may be using one glass, one favorite glass for their wine. They may have a couple different glasses that they use for their wine, and they may use it depending on their mood or depending on whatever's happening that day. But today, I'd like to talk with you on why people should really kind of pay attention to the glasses that they're using, depending on the wine that they're drinking. And that's something that's really been a big thing that your family and your company has been a pioneer in doing.
Absolutely, Joe. So once again, thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, being in business for over 265 years, I would say that's an accomplishment. The United States has become our largest market, export market. I personally lived in the US for 15 years in and outside of New York. So many of my ideas and concepts were actually developed based on me living in New York, such as the Riedel O, the stemless glasses. But to answer your question, if you are in love with wine, you need the proper loudspeaker. It's like when you're in love with music, you need the proper instrument, the proper receiver to really enjoy music and every pitch and every tone. And the same is with wine. So many people have yet to be introduced the proper way to wine. Wine grows around the world. Nowadays, also the United States definitely is one of the best wine growing regions or countries to grow wine in the world. And still to date, people have yet to understand the reason why you should invest in a proper stemware, in a proper glass to enjoy the wine. And I simply refer to music, because I think everybody who likes music understands that and spends a lot of money in the proper gear to enjoy music at its very best. And the same goes for wine. So the wine glass is the transmitter. It's the loudspeaker. It displays wine, displays all the nuances that you might lose when you just pour it into a simple glass.
You know, I never had thought about it that way, but you're right. If you really love music and you want to hear all of the different tones and all the different instruments and the vocals, you need a good set of earphones, really good headset or really good speakers. And there are people who spend a lot of money on that and people who don't spend a lot of money, and you can definitely hear the difference. So what you're suggesting is that if you spend a little more on the right glassware, that it'll really enhance what you're drinking.
The experience and what you get out of the wine. And the same goes for any kind of, if you love sports, there's a difference not only between a sneaker to go jogging or running versus another sneaker, or even versus an elegant evening shoe. So I think that the topic is the proper gadget to enjoy. And this is exactly what's happening with Riedel, the wine glass company, and wine. I mean, wine consumption, wine production goes back for a couple thousand years, and the same is with the glass production. There was always a relationship between the two, and it continues. And when it comes to the Riedel wine glass, our glasses are not only beautiful, they're not only made out of crystal glass and they look pretty. These are instruments, fine-tuned. And I would like to explain this in a little bit more depth, how we go about developing, for example, a new glass for Cabernet Sauvignon. Yes, we have many glasses for Cabernet Sauvignon. But when we come together, and when I say when we come together, it's the Riedel family with the winemakers to develop a new glass, then it's because in the last 20 years, I would say, so much has changed in the vineyard, in the way how wine is being produced. Of course, it also depends on global warming, etc. So when you bought a real glass 20 years ago, you should look at it again, not because the glass got bad in terms of material, but because wine has changed. And so has the real glass. Over the last generations, over the last 10 to 20 years, the glasses have become bigger in size and newly shaped to keep up with the modern wine making techniques. And the result is the modern wine. So there's always an evolution in the vineyard, in the winemaking process, and also on our end when we develop new glasses.
You say that, and I remember now 20 years ago when I had a Riedel glass that was a Pinot Noir glass, and it was like one of my favorite glasses. It really brought out all the nuances of a nice Pinot Noir wine. And then you were working on a glass that was specifically for Oregon Pinot Noir. And I just couldn't understand what was happening. And it's a different glass. And maybe we could use that as an example. Like, how did this come about that you created a glass specifically for Oregon Pinot versus Pinot in general? And like, how is that process? Like, how does that happen? How do you come up with a new shape of a glass? Where does it come from?
Well, that's a beautiful story. And that was the beginning of us reconsidering existing shapes. So the story of the glass from Riedel for Oregon Pinot Noir starts with French winemakers who own properties in Burgundy and who also were adventurous and started to buy properties in Oregon, knowing that it's the perfect climate and perfect soil to grow Pinot Noir. Of course, those Pinot Noirs in the New World in Oregon were different. Maybe not in terms of quality level, but in terms of minerality, acidity levels. Obviously, it's a natural product and it depends on the soil and on the climate, the microclimate that it comes from. Mainly those people who knew Riedel in the old world, in Europe, such as the Drouin family, for example, who uses our glasses in Burgundy, and they said, for whatever reason, the glass that we're using for our wines or the styles that we produce in Burgundy, it is not really working for the styles, the new styles that we're growing and producing in Oregon. And we looked into this, and a lot of interest from the local wine growers came in our direction, said, yes, we are interested in working with Riedel on a new Pinot Noir glass that showcases the specifics of our wine region and of our wine, the quality that we can produce on site. And we thought, impossible. It has to be the same glass because our glasses are based on the DNA of the fruit, of the grape, and Pinot Noir is Pinot Noir. They're different clones, no doubt, but it cannot make such a big difference. And fact is, in particular, the minerality in Oregon Pinot is different than the minerality in Pinot Noir from Burgundy. And that was the reason why we sat down, we tasted, we experienced, and we created a new shape with the help of the local wine producers. And the result was, yes, voila, there is a new shape specific for, and then we called it Oregon Pinot Noir. Nowadays, we would call it the New World Pinot Noir glass because also in Napa, in Sonoma, we grow beautiful Pinot Noir fruit also on the East Coast of the United States. And this particular new shape that was developed then is also the perfect shape for all Pinot grown and produced all over the United States.
Wow. So it was actually driven by the winemakers who just were not 100% pleased with the way the wine was tasting out of their normal Pinot Noir glass.
Absolutely. So Riedel always works very closely with the winemakers. For me, the winemaker is the person that understands the wine best. A sommelier, a wine critic, always considers his own palate first. The winemaker starts with the soil, starts with the terroir, starts with the fruit, starts with the knowledge gained over years and years. So that's the person, that's my anchor with whom I meet, I discuss, I taste, and who leads me into the idea of create a new glass for a new grape variety or reconsider an existing glass for a grape variety which is well known to us.
Now, our listener might be thinking, this is a lot of BS. How could the glass make that much of a difference? But I'm gonna say that a long time ago, I had the benefit of participating in a Riedel glass tasting. And it's not the type of thing where you actually taste the glass, but you taste wine out of different glasses. And I was absolutely blown away the first time and the second time that I did it. I remember when you put different glasses in front of us and, you know, there could have been the same wine in it, and it tasted different in all the different vessels. Could you just like walk through how a person at home could go through this so that they could kind of get that understanding for themselves? Because I think a lot of people don't believe it until they actually experience it.
Most of them, Joe. Yes. So the process is quite simple. The process is the same process as if I would face winemakers from a particular region growing one particular fruit. I would overwhelm them first with a lot of different shaped glasses from Riedel, in which I would pour their wine from a specific vineyard, a specific fruit, maybe from different vintages, in 5, 6, or even 10 different Riedel shaped glasses. And I would not say much. I would do it, I would pour it, and then I would ask them to smell and taste the wine that they produce, that they know so well, in 5 to 10 different shaped glasses. As soon as they put the nose from one glass into the next and they arrive at maybe the third or fourth glass, they look at me and say, I can't believe it. Because for the first time, they realize that the shape of the glass can either support or hinder or even destroy their vision of their wine. That's how much of an impact there is. So for me, the winemaker is always the point of reference. And when I can surprise them or even wow them, some people say, some wine producers, wow, I did not even know that my wine can be so good. Or they say, I can't recognize my wine anymore. What did you do? So it's not that the glass is thick or thin. It's not that the glass carries an odor on its own. It is simply due to the shape of the bowl, the size of the bowl, we can influence the way how the wine presents itself. I cannot change the wine in any way. I can only present the wine. And this is fascinating. So if you want to do the same at home, you don't have a real glass, just open a bottle of wine that you really like and take whatever you have at home, different vessels that are clean, from which you could smell, from which you could taste wine, be it a wine glass, a small one, a large one, add a flute. Everybody, I don't know why, has a champagne flute at home. Good. A thing of the past, because champagne tastes much better out of wine glass, not out of a flute. So pour your favorite wine in a big glass, a small glass, into a flute, into a paper cup, into a plastic cup, whatever you have, side by side, and just work yourself through it. Smell first from one vessel to the other, including maybe the wine bottle. Good. There's a reason why people don't drink wine from the bottle. And it sounds funny, but there is a good reason. When you go through this exercise, you understand. Because if you would drink wine from the wine bottle, it's like drinking Coca-Cola from the Coke bottle. Maybe it refreshes your palate and your sense of taste, but you're missing out on smell, on parfum. And wine experience is 70% goes through your nose. Good. So wine drinking versus wine experiencing, there's a big difference. So if you would do this at home, I would already show you the path of Riedel, even though you have not even used a Riedel glass, because no matter what you have at home, every vessel, every shape will show wine differently. Now, if you want to do it the real way, come and join us wherever you live in the United States, or maybe people have listened from Canada. During Corona, it's difficult, of course, but we normally, and you could look this up on riedel.com on our website. That's riedel.com. You can find local Riedel glass tastings. This is where we would guide you and your senses through a wine in different shaped glasses. And you will be amazed how wine can smell, or it loses completely its smell, how it can taste delicious, great, to really bad, not by us influencing the wine in terms of temperature or shaking it or whatever. We're not influencing it. We're just pouring it from one glass into the next. And you will be amazed what the shape of a glass can do to support or maybe even destroy the wine.
You know, it's funny. I had a vision in my head of people drinking wine directly from the bottle. And now I understand why so many young people drink beer out of a bottle, because they don't taste how bad it is, a cheap beer, because you're just putting it right down your gullet, right? There's no smell, there's no nothing. And when you're drinking a wine, I would hope that people are taking their time and enjoying it and enjoying the aromas and everything else. So it's starting to make sense in my head, just having those two pictures, those images in my head.
Well, tasting and drinking wine takes a lot of prep work.
Yeah.
Of course, you can go to your local liquor store, buy a bottle of wine which you know, or which was recommended, or which you read about, and you know it's highly rated, it's decently priced, you can afford it, you take it home, then you open it. Because it's a young vintage, you should decant it, you should aerate it. If you don't have a decanter, simply open the bottle maybe 1 or 2 hours in advance. The wine should be at the right temperature, not out of the fridge, because if wine is too cold, it closes up like a flower bud. You won't smell, you won't taste. And if it's too warm, it only shows the alcohol. So it has to be at the right temperature. It should have had time to breathe, to open up, to aerate, especially when it's a younger vintage. And then pour it into your favorite wine glass and maybe into a new glass that you bought at the same store as you bought your wine bottle. Invite a friend. Wine enjoyment, wine drinking shall never be alone. You should always share it with friends and family, with your spouse. Because, you know, it's not only in vino veritas, in wine lies the truth, and we all know what that means. It's just wine puts you in a very comfortable, in a very good mood. And I'm not talking about drinking a lot of wine. Put some nice music on. It's the moment. And wine adds to the moment, to that special moment. And if you have the key to wine, the proper wine glass, the wine moment will be so much better.
Agreed. So let's say our listener goes through your tasting exercise and, you know, puts the wine in all different types of vessels. And they do have the one Riedel glass, and they come to the conclusion, it tastes and smells so much better out of this Riedel glass. Now let's get into the next step. Why should they start thinking about different glasses for different wines, as opposed to, wow, I found this one glass, it looks beautiful, the wine I tasted in it tastes great, I just want to use this glass all the time?
Well, it doesn't work. We are grape varietal specific, and if you would pour your favorite Cabernet into the Riedel Cabernet glass versus the Riesling glass, the Syrah glass, and maybe the Pinot Noir glass, you will know why Cabernet needs to go into the Cabernet glass. With the friendship partnership to the winemakers, it was fine-tuned. It's an instrument. And nowadays, the newest and latest Riedel glasses from the collection Riedel Wine Wings and Riedel Veloce, they even carry the grape variety on the base engraved, so you can't mix up your glasses anymore. And it's the same like if you like the game of golf and you would say, I play my holes with one club. Everybody would shake their head and laugh at you because you can't do it. And everybody who plays golf knows that you need to have a certain quality level of a golf club, and you need for every kind of different hit and different club. If you are a runner, you need different shoes for different terroir. So, you know, if you're into it, and I understand that it comes with a budget and space where to store the glasses, but if you're into wine, and wine costs money, and good wine costs nowadays a lot of money, so you don't want to spoil the moment by utilizing the wrong instrument.
Speaking of budget, let's say someone likes to drink wine. They pay $15 to $25 for a bottle of wine for, say, daily drinking, and then weekends, or maybe they spend a little more. What would you recommend as like a budget for glassware?
Well, a very simple rule, because we have different collections in Riedel. You find a Cabernet glass at different price points, represented by different glass collections, stem or stemless, and many, many more. And what we say, what you spend in average on a bottle of wine, you should also spend on your glassware. So if you are the $15 person, then you should find yourself a glass that also costs $15 to keep up with the quality. Good. Of course, there is handmade glasses from Riedel where you have 30 people involved to produce one glass. You won't find that for $15. You will find that for $150.
Right.
But I don't know if this is your wine budget, you know, and it hurts even more when you break one of these glasses. When do people break their wine glasses? It's always the same when they try to wash their wine glasses. Rarely do you drop a glass. It happens, of course, but whilst washing. And that's the reason why I always say, trust your dishwasher. Put the glasses in the dishwasher. They will not harm your glass. If it breaks in your hands and you cut yourself, you hurt yourself, it even destroys your evening. The dishwasher, in case it happens in your dishwasher, it happens in your dishwasher. So be it.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because that was going to be another question, is how to take care of your glasses. So dishwasher with used dishwashing liquid, or?
Yes, of course. I mean, okay. Especially when you think about dishwasher companies like Miele, they are so advanced, you know, that you can even wash your baby bottles in the dishwasher. So why would you not wash your wine glass in there? If it's good for your child, it's definitely also good for you. So I would not be too worried about it.
So we don't have to worry about any soap residue or anything getting into the, if you use the dishwasher.
Well, if the dishwasher is a modern dishwasher, it's up to date, it has been serviced, it gets serviced annually, you should not be worried about it.
Okay. And for those of us who hand wash, I happen to hand wash a lot of my glasses. A long time ago, someone who used to import wine told me that you should use soda ash. Is that a good thing to use to wash your glasses? Or what would you recommend to hand wash glasses?
No, I would, Joe, I would never put anything into my wine glass I would not like to digest, you know? So
okay.
I would not play too much with it. I think what you're relating to are those tricks in case the glasses go dull, which they won't in the dishwasher. Glasses can lose their brilliance when stored too long in a closed kitchen cabinet that maybe is new or is newly painted, and the lacquer really attacks the surface of your wine glass. And it also can adopt the odor. So you should not store your wine glasses in the garage. You should not store them unless you rotate them in a kitchen cabinet that is new. So all this can definitely impact your glass. The dishwasher won't.
So just use the dishwasher. Stop hand washing. Got it. You mentioned before your Wine Wings glasses. You've been making so many different shapes of glasses for different varietals. And recently you came out with these Wine Wings, which I was lucky enough to get to try over the last couple of weeks. They do not look anything like your other glasses. And I'm going to have a link in the show notes so our listener can see what these glasses look like. They are a lot different. They're not the typical roundish, smooth-looking shape that we've come to know and love from Riedel. They're a little different. Could you talk a little bit about why they look so different and so much different from all of your other glassware?
Well, this typical egg-shaped wine glass was invented by the Riedel family. Prior to that, I'm sure everybody remembers heavy cut lead crystal from Waterford, where it was the top was always flaring out and open. So this egg shape was actually one of the latest inventions in glassmaking, very difficult to produce. Professor Klaus Riedel, my grandfather, was the first to do it, to be capable of doing it. That's the reason why his designs are in the Museum of Modern Art in New York, but also at the Corning Museum of Glass. He's the father of the modern wine glass. And of course, we are 2-3 generations later now, and we try to reinvent the wheel. The performance is similar, but the look is different. And of course, it's a modern shape, it's a modern design. The performance is excellent of Riedel Wine Wings. but we are more capable in creating new shapes than we were maybe 20, 30 years ago, if it's by handmade or by machine. And I would say wine wings is exactly that. And it's such a new shape that either you love it or you hate it. So it speaks to a lot of people. We are very successful with it. It works excellent. But the shape is so new that people have yet to get to know it and to understand it and to work with it, to play with it, maybe see it in a restaurant around the corner for the first time to be inspired. So we are very innovative. We are very creative. And of course, we always try to wow and surprise the audience by coming forward with new designs.
Yeah. The wine wings, they remind me of having a decanter for a glass. It's almost like a mini decanter. It's such a big bowl on the bottom where I could like really swirl the wine around. I'm assuming that's by design.
Everything is by design. There is no surprise. It's industrial design. So everything is very well considered. And it's a real glass. So it must work and perform for wine. But I think we have now 15 different glass collections with different names. The original one is Riedel Sommelier, the handmade, and Vinum, the O, the Veritas, the wine collection, Vitis, and so many more. And Wine Wings is the first complete new design language. It has a new design language. It was developed by George Riedel, my father, last year, and it's a success. People should experience it, should try it.
Okay. And now you just mentioned there are 15 different lines of Riedel glasses. How does the listener decide which line they should be looking for or thinking about? Or like, there's so many different kinds. What should they be honing in? Or maybe you could just run through what each one of them is for. Like, why do you have 15 different ones?
Well, because my grandfather was creative, my father and myself. So we all try to fight for a space in your kitchen cabinet. But, you know, there are different glasses, different price points, stem or stemless, where we give the people a choice. And I think you need to have a choice. I mean, if there would be only one glass, how boring would be our world? It's the same like only one grape variety. If you would have to drink for the rest of your life Riesling, you will not die from it, but it's quite boring. So you want to have Riesling when it suits Riesling. And you want to have Sauvignon Blanc when the moment is right, and you want to have a rosé wine in the summer and definitely not in the winter, at least not me. And so people want to have a choice. And I think most of our customers get either inspired by the source, by the retailer that they trust. Maybe they've seen the glasses at friends and family's homes, or finally our advertising is reaching you, the audience. So you need to experience this. I would say the best ambassador for my product are the wineries. If you travel to wine country out on Long Island, or if you go all the way to the West Coast, or you are from the West Coast, you visit Napa Valley, you always run into a new Riedel glass there. And whatever inspires you, whatever suits your budget, you should go for.
Okay.
I've learned one thing, you know, people always still think you should inherit it, your porcelain and your glassware. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those days are over. Good. You should start your own collection. And people hold on way too long to their wine glasses. Yeah, when I was a student, I bought these glasses. I'm so proud. I still use the same glass. No, wine has changed. You need to have a new glass. Good. Buy some new glasses. In spring, get yourself a new set of glasses. Glasses are not so expensive like they used to be. You know, and maybe one, you have a house or you live in an apartment, but you have a holiday house or a place, a getaway place, get a different set of glasses for different occasions. So it does so much more. You know, you're reaching out to your glass every meal. If it's for water, if it's for a juice, or if it's for wine, and you should gift yourself sometimes a new glass.
So we're recording this in the early part of the year 2022. We're still slogging through this pandemic, and a lot of people have been home and not able to visit wineries and maybe not even visit wine retailers, depending on their level of comfort. So if our listener, and I can't believe it's possible, but if our listener has never had the enjoyment of drinking wine out of a Riedel glass, and it is an absolute enjoyment, where do you think that they should start? If they go on the Riedel.com website and try and figure out which line of glass should they start with, where would you like them to start their journey?
Well, whatever suits your lifestyle. And a lifestyle for me is the way you live, the way you enjoy, the budget that you have. So whatever suits your lifestyle. The best is to really go onto our website and just check it out. What is available? Then go to 1, 2, 3 retailers and feel the glasses, play with them in your hands. Maybe you can borrow one just to taste your favorite wine. I would say an indicator is your favorite wine. And you should have a favorite wine. You should have a favorite grape variety. And get yourself a glass and try it in that or in this, or buy your wine not only in a retail outlet, also in a restaurant, and check out their glassware. Go to many wine events. Every wine event, you need a wine glass, and see what is comfortable for you, what you could see yourself using at home. And then I always say, don't forget your spouse or whoever joins you in your living space, and consider their needs as well, because maybe you like Grüner Veltliner from Austria and that's what you drink every day, but your spouse likes Chardonnay from Napa. So then you need already 2 glasses in your collection, because one only serves the Grüner and the other one serves the Chardonnay. Experience, experience, experience.
What you said about purchasing a glass for your spouse, it's a really great gift. It's a really great, thoughtful gift to do something like that. Get a varietal specific glass for the person that you love.
Yeah. And if you have the choice between a set of wine glasses or flowers, you know, flowers, they go bad very quickly. And the wine glass, if you put in a dishwasher, stays with you for a long time. You have much more fun with a wine glass. You can experience much more. I'm not saying that giving flowers is a bad thing, not at all. And I'd love to do it. Best would be the combination, you know, flowers with a set of glasses and your favorite bottle of wine. That's a way to start the evening.
That's a good save right there, Maximilian. You almost blew it. One more question, and I should have asked it when you were talking about it. You mentioned that everybody has a champagne flute in their cupboard, and they shouldn't be drinking champagne out of a flute. What should they be drinking champagne out of, and why? And please explain the whole reason why.
Well, I think that that's an investment that you don't need to make, good? Especially when you have a wedding list and tradition, you need to have a red wine, a white wine, a water glass, and a champagne flute. The champagne flute is and was always great marketing, because there is no other beverage in the world you would consider to drink from a champagne flute than champagne. But the champagne flute, and I would say by now I have been able to convince most of the champagne growers and producers, only shows the basic in this delicious, most amazing wine. Ladies and gentlemen, champagne is wine, good, with a second fermentation taking place in the bottle, and that's why we have the bubbles. So wine should always smell and taste like fruit, because that's what it is. But when you serve champagne in a flute, it smells like bread. And that's the side effect, because for making wine, we need fruit and yeast. So in a flute, you always smell the yeast. Yeast, yeast, yeast. You should never smell yeast, good, because it's part of the wine, but it's not, it should never be the only thing that you smell in wine. So the flute, my nose is too big for the flute. I can't stick it in there. And if I could, I would have this typical smell. I even have to call it an odor of yeast, of bread, and not fruit. So try it the real way. Put your favorite champagne into a flute next to a white wine glass, preferable from Riedel. Pour it side by side and then start, like we do with wine, smell first. Swirl it. Don't be afraid. You can't lose the bubbles. Swirl in the flute versus swirling in the white wine glass and smell. And I don't have to go further than that, because you will be surprised. You will be amazed. And you will be disappointed, because until now, if you have been using a flute, you have been missing out on one of the greatest beverages in the world. No matter who makes the champagne, if it says champagne on the bottle, you know it's quality and it's great. And if you serve it in a white wine glass, it's even greater. It's even bigger. It's even better. And you can serve champagne not only as an aperitif at the beginning or at the end of a meal. Serve it with the food through the meal. Champagne is the answer to your question for Thanksgiving. what wine to serve during Thanksgiving. It's either for me, champagne or Pinot Noir, because both is food friendly. It's the most food friendliest wine, period. It goes with everything. Vegetable, poultry, fish, meat. Pinot goes with everything, and so does champagne.
Yep. And I think people would realize that even more when they drink it out of a white wine glass as opposed to a flute, because you don't get all of the nuances and aromas and everything that you're describing without getting it into a nice white wine glass. It's funny, if I didn't know any better, I would have thought you worked for a champagne house.
Yeah, I'm not. But I like to drink it. I like to, and I've made many glasses specific for different champagnes. I was invited by Dom Perignon to create the new Dom Perignon glass. I did it for Krug and Krug Rosé champagne. I did it for many. And the reason is my vision, my idea behind champagne and the enjoyment of one of the best beverages in the world.
Well, I can't argue with you on that one.
And Joe, when I moved to America, champagne 20 years ago or 25 years ago was the most expensive wine on the wine list. Now it's the opposite. It has become affordable and the least expensive when I compare it with the great Cabernets from Napa or from Bordeaux or Pinot Noir from Burgundy. All of a sudden, we can afford to drink champagne. Let's celebrate it in a proper glass.
Agreed. Well, Maximilian, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time to go through all of the basics of glassware. Do you have any other things that you want to say about wine in a glass?
Well, wine should be and must be in the proper real glass. You will get more out of it. And no matter if it's a complex, complicated wine or just a simple wine, I'm not sure who would rate and judge it in such a way, but the glass makes a difference. No matter how expensive the wine is, no matter what grape variety, no matter what color, serve it in the proper glass and the experience is so much better and you enjoy it. And no matter if you are calling yourself a wine aficionado or a beginner, no matter what, the glass makes such a difference. And I would hope that more and more people would understand, because wine is and becomes even more popular. And wine grows around the world. And wine is celebration. Wine unites us. And if you serve it in the right glass, which I refer to as the proper loudspeaker, you get so much more out of it. And if you have the time, decant the wine before you drink it.
Ah, yes. Maximilian, we will get into decanting in another episode, because that's a whole nother thing to talk about. Absolutely.
And I also would like to give a shout out to anybody who wants to get in contact with me, in touch with me. Simply look me up on Instagram, Maxi Riedel, and send me a message. Tell me that you have listened to join myself. Would be nice to hear from you.
Yeah, you have a really fun Instagram feed, and I encourage our listener to look you up, and I will have the information in the show notes. So just swipe up left, right, or left, or whatever it is, up or down, and you will be able to connect with Maximilian there. Maximilian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. Looking forward to sharing a glass of wine with you.
Me too. Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Maximilian Riedel. We hope you've heard enough to consider doing your own glass tasting at home, and perhaps to try some varietal-specific glasses offered by Riedel. If you really love wine, trust me, you will not be disappointed. And you'll probably be surprised and delighted by using the right glass for the wine you're drinking. To follow Maximilian on Instagram and to learn more about Riedel, check the show notes. We've got links. And for tips on choosing glassware, including how to throw a fun wine glass tasting, visit wine365.com/28. I'll be back with another episode in about 2 weeks. In the meantime, remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. Enjoy it responsibly in the right glass.